we are going to move on to informational item number 14. Come on up, Sam. Hold on.
You want to do that finalization? Oh, we'll wait first then. No, wait for the wish officer.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, we've left one item there on purpose here.
Absolutely.
Yep, number 14. Law enforcement chief.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, commissioners.
Oops. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, Mr. Secretary. My name is Sam Skelos. I have the privilege of serving as the law enforcement section chief for the Game Fish and Parks, and got the opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity to present this little informational item for you. And I was talking to Director Hirschman, talking about what to present. He said, why don't we just start from the beginning? And so we're going to start a little bit what we do to hire conservation officers, what the training look like for a conservation officer, and what we're training for. So Chris is working up bringing my presentation. I can talk about pronghorn, but
no, you don't want to do that. That'd be interesting.
Would be interesting. That is for sure. No, Secretary Rowling does not want me to talk about pronghorn. I really think
I must have had one mislabeled.
Well, he pulled that up. Just a little bit about myself. I started with the agency in it was seasonal in 1999, doing some fisheries work. In 2003, I was hired full time as a conservation officer. I was stationed in Salem. In 2005, I transferred down to Yankton, where I currently live today. But 2013, I was promoted to a district supervisor in that area. And then in 2020, we created a law enforcement section, and I was selected to lead that. So I've been with Game Fish Parks for quite a while now, and it's a privilege to serve in the role I am now. And so we're just going to talk a little bit about our conservation officer. This is where we are right now. And if you look at that map, you can kind of just see where we're stationed. There's a lot going on this map, but we use it internally. We also publish this in our handbooks now. Instead of just listing the city and the officer, we put the map in there to help with locations. And you'll notice there's a couple vacancies in there right now. We're actually down 14 positions. But the good news is we anticipated some of that, and we have 13 officers in the program that I'm going to describe to you here. And so we're feeling pretty good about that. Conservation officer hiring. We have a standard process for announcing. We announce on the BHR website, and then we start our selection and screening process. What that looks like is you get the resumes in. We have a hiring board. They review those job applications. We conduct phone interviews first, and that narrows it further down into in-person interviews. A few months ago, we had this process going, and we had 80 to 90 applicants, and very good quality applicants. Brandon Gust is our deputy chief. He leads this process, and he just noticed over the last several years, the quality of applicants that we're hiring just seems to keep getting better and better. And one of the things that we've been very intentional in doing as a law enforcement section is making sure that every intern that works for this agency, whether it's Parks or Wildlife, they get the opportunity to ride with a conservation officer and experience what we do. My goal for my team is to make sure that every intern we have working for us has that opportunity. And that's paying off for us. We have 4 conservation officer intern positions. That's only 4. That's not a lot. But we have a lot of interns that work for this agency. And so we work really hard in making sure they have the opportunity to do that. Once they make it through the selection process, they're given a conditional offer. And that conditional offer is pending on passing a polygraph and a psychological evaluation. Once they pass that, they go into an actual background. And we have background investigators that work for us. We have maybe a half dozen to 8 of them across the state, a couple former conservation officers and people like that. And this is a pretty extensive background. This isn't just calling a couple references and moving on. This is an exhaustive list that the applicant has to fill out. And then our background investigator goes to the hometown, talks to the local law enforcement, renters. We do financial checks, social media checks, and it's quite a long process. And so once that is done, the original hiring board that was part of the first step in the process, they gather with the background investigator, they review everything, and then they make the decision to move that officer into wildlife conservation officer training program. Next slide, Chris. And what that looks like. So once we hire them, once they get through that first process, they're going to spend 2 weeks in what we call pre-academy training. And this is just a lot of the BHR, getting their benefits set up, their retirement set up, working with our staff on just a travel voucher. There's just a lot of the administrative stuff that goes with being a state employee. From that 2 weeks, they'll spend 13 weeks at the Law Enforcement Training Academy in Pierre. And we just had two officers graduate last Friday from that academy. It's always an exciting time. We do a little luncheon afterwards with them and their family. Secretary Roving, Director Kirschman like to be there when they can make it. It's just a special time because that's a long haul for those officers, 13 weeks. And that's where they're learning how to be a law enforcement officer. There's not a lot of game and fish emphasis in that program. Once they're done with that, we have 2 weeks of what we call post academy, and this is where we start to really get into the game and fish laws. Sometimes it's like drinking from a fire hydrant. We throw so much at them, but then we also take them in and we put them in scenario type situations where they can actually apply these laws and see what that looks like. And that's been very beneficial. Those two that just graduated are actually up in Watertown right now going through this process. From there, once they're done with that, they enter a wildlife training officer program, which is 16 weeks. So it's a long call. I don't do math in public very often, but I'm pretty sure we have about 33 weeks right here. And that can vary a little bit based off of vacation in there or training that they have to attend. So it's a long haul from when we hire them, from when they get that conditional offer to their background done to when they're in the field. So what's our wildlife training officer program look like? We break that into four different phases. We have a public service phase, a resource management phase, a patrol activities phase, and a criminal investigation phase. And as they go through that, and go to the next slide, as they go through that phase, it's not like they just focus on one component of that, and that's all they do. While they may be focused on resource management, public lands, walking areas, they have to go patrol yet. They have to, if they have a tip stall, they got to go work that tip stall. And the whole time we're doing this, we have a training officer with them. And they're right there. They're riding with them. They're right. Every contact they make, they're a part of that. And they're evaluated on that. And so the officer, while we have those phases broken out, the job of a conservation officer, you could go to give a presentation at a school. And on the way there, you talk to somebody who turned in a tips call. And you just kind of, that's what we're teaching them how to do. Next slide, Chris. So during that wildlife conservation officer program, we have a few principles that we use for some of their learning. First one I'll describe is called problem-based learning activities. And these are unique instances that there's really no clear outcome. And the officer has to work through and find the laws, who in our department could be a resource for them. For an example, trying to balance a landowner that has depredation from deer on the property and the sportsmen that want more deer in that unit. And the conservation officer gets presented with that, and how are they going to handle that? Who are they going to talk to in their region? What laws, rules, policy, procedures does their agency have that they can do that? It's a really great program. And then once they develop that, they present that to a gathering of staff. Sometimes it's officers, sometimes it's regional staff. We've even had some Parks Division staff sit in on them because they're not all just wildlife-based. We also utilize a technique called failing forward. I speak for myself where some of my best learning moments were incidents where I maybe could have handled it better or didn't handle it the correct way. And so these aren't failing forward with huge consequences. We always have an officer there if something starts going south to bail them out. These are the small failing forward moments where maybe they didn't handle this. Maybe they didn't handle a process right. Maybe they forgot to do something in the step. And so we let them fail through that without getting into too much trouble. And then once that's done, you go back and you talk about it, you discuss it. And it's been a really good training model for us. We utilize a district training exercise. Most of our officers going through this program know where they're going to end up, what duty station they're going to be in. And so we assign them a district to start learning about that district. Not just the people that live there, but meeting the key individuals there, whether that's the state's attorney, the sheriff, the chief of police, the organization, the non-government organizations, who runs those, the landowners, the ranchers in that area. And they're just building a list of what they need to do when they start in that district. So once they hit the ground running, they already have a framework of who are the key people they need to meet, what are some of the issues or concerns or problems in that district that they can start working on. Once all that's done, the last step of the process is they go through a board of evaluators and they present that district training exercise. They present that to the board of evaluators, they review it, and once they get their blessing, then they're in the field. And what are they? And next slide, Chris. Once they're in the field, they start doing all the work that a conservation officer does. They're checking fishermen, they're on the boat, they respond to floods, they do radio shows. Next slide. Just a lot of the different things, youth events, investigations, tips programs, hunt safe, body recoveries. Next slide. They patrol in all the different seasons we have, all the different areas. They're out maintaining walking areas, the game production areas, they're planting trees. Next slide. They're helping with buoys, they're at the roundup, all these different things that conservation officers do. This is just a snapshot of some of the different things I put together, a collage of just different things that officers do. And with that, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, that's kind of maybe I got talking a little too fast there, but that's what we do to get our officers prepared. And we're hiring some really, really quality individuals right now. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I turn it over to you for any questions you may have.
Sam, can you take a moment just real quick and talk about the academy and how that works? Because it's not just our couple of staff at the academy. Can you just elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman. Yeah, so the Law Enforcement Academy is run by the Department of Criminal Investigation, DCI, and they have multiple instructors there, and our individuals live there the whole time. It's a dorm-style setting. Every day they're in classes. They're learning about the laws and rules for the whole state. They do firearms, defensive tactics, emergency vehicle operational training. There's a lot of scenario-based training. There's nighttime training that they do. A lot of stuff on how to write a search warrant. Getting into individual Fourth Amendment protections and all those different things. So we send them there, but we're not necessarily the ones training them, although we will send our staff there to help. Some of our defensive tactics instructors will go and help teach that, or firearms instructors, or EVOC instructors. EVOC is emergency vehicle operations. So it's a big deal for them, and we really like to recognize them when they graduate and they get certified, they get to wear their badge, and at that point in time, they are a law enforcement officer for the state. And then we work a lot on the game and fish side with them once we get them. So,
no, awesome. Thank you. You guys are doing an excellent job. Any questions, comments from the commission? I've got one.
Yes, sir.
Are we still a member of, is it NAWEO?
Commissioner Gold, yes, sir, we are. No. National Association of Wildlife Enforcement Officers.
Ironically, I attended one of those when it was held in Rapid City, probably before most of you were born, and actually spoke at it. But my question is, how come we don't look at having one of those in South Dakota again?
So,
Is that a big deal? Is it a loss or is it a moneymaker?
Commissioner Cole, most of those are run through the conservation officer associations by each state. So Nebraska is actually hosting this year. It's a Nebraska Conservation Officer Association that is organizing that and working that. It's not so much the actual state agency that does it. It's the associations of those officers. So South Dakota last...
We have that here in South Dakota.
We have a Conservation Officers Association. The last one we hosted was in 1989. It's a big heavy lift.
1993?
93?
Right.
I thought it was 89.
Yeah.
93? We're close.
Fact check me.
No, you can't fact check.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Sam, talk about tips a little bit. Where's the call center at? How many do you get a year? Where does it come in? How does it relate to you guys?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman.
That's good.
Yeah, so tips of the Turn and Poachers program that's been around since the late 80s. So we partner with Huron State Radio, and that they're the dispatchers that take, when you call the tips hotline, 1-888-OVERBAG, that gets routed to them. They take that tip, and they will then disseminate that. You can also report online, and that's disseminated to each officer. We also have a an app on our phone where we can go on there every day and you can see what new tips have been posted. And so that I don't have it with me, Commissioner, how many tips cases we get. I know I'm talking to Commissioner Kirkaby in that law enforcement publication that we sent out. I know it's in there, and I wish I would have grabbed one, and I could find that number for you, but I don't have the number. It's a couple hundred every year for sure.
Mr. Chair, I thank you, whoever sent me that law enforcement booklet. It's very, very, very impressive. How often is that published?
We publish that annually. We work with Nick Harrington and his team. Brooke Smith does all the design work for that. Our officers submit some of those case highlights and just a lot of statistics in there. So
I just have to say real quick, probably in elementary school, we're all chosen. We all have the opportunity to choose what profession we may want to go into. I wrote down I wanted to be a game warden or a hardware retailer. And I don't know. Not sure I made the right choice. On the other hand, I don't know if you guys would have chosen me. But anyway, thank you for what you do. Thank you for helping all of us wildlife enthusiasts do what we enjoy. But most importantly, thank you for protecting the natural resources.
Thank you for the kind words.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, words.
I had a question. This is Commissioner Spring. I was wondering, like on a local average with your COs, how much time do they need to spend, say, for instance, with law enforcement, with sheriff's department, police departments, comparing to doing GFP projects and being a game warden or whatever you want to say, doing with wildlife?
Yeah, great question, Commissioner Spring. And that kind of, it's kind of determined by where the officer's at. Say a big city with a lot of law enforcement, like Sioux Falls or Rapid City, we do interact with those officers, but they're not necessarily dependent on us as they would be in Aurora County, where there's, you know, one or two city cops, a sheriff, a deputy, a high patrolman, and conservation officer, the law enforcement for that county. And so it kind of comes and goes. There's not across the board, there's not a good number that I could give you for that. A lot of it depends on where they're at, the relationships they have with their other law enforcement. But the bulk of our work that we do is conservation law enforcement. We are true to that because that's who pays our salary, right? It is the sportsmen and women. And so we're true to that. That doesn't mean we are sworn law enforcement officers. We do take the oath. And so we do uphold other laws, and we help out our sister agencies a lot. When they need us, and that varies county by county, officer by officer. So it's a tough question to put an exact number to.
All right, thanks again, Sam. We have 3.9.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, we
started. Mr. Chairman, if I may, Sam, appreciate you putting the presentation together. This was a request by the commission to learn a little bit. When Sam and I talked about this, we just decided there's too much to do all of it in one presentation, what a conservation officer does, right? Or how you become a conservation officer. Sure. Sam focused on the hiring and kind of the training process. If your desire would be of interest, I'll have Sam put together another one in, you know, a couple of meetings down the road or something, come back and maybe just do a follow-up presentation of what's more the day-to-day activities or the seasonal activities that the conservation officers do, both from the wildlife side and working with our sister division, the Division of Parks, and working in the parks across the state as well. So if that would be of interest, we could easily do it, because you can try to put it all in one 15-minute presentation is quite honestly impossible, and we wouldn't do it justice. So if you would like that, I believe Sam would be more than happy to pull something like that together and share that with you a couple of meetings down the road, and we'll put it on your agenda.
Bruce, would you want to follow up with that?
Well, yeah, I would appreciate it.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you.
We need to take a break. We have an owl problem. Is that right? Okay. We're going to take, we'll meet back here at 3:30. There's 12 minutes. Is that long enough?
Well,
technical teams.
So.
All right.
Current research. Recording stopped.
It's the PC that wins to my home.
All right. We're up and running.
Is that
next?
Yeah. All right, we're going to get started again. Just a change to your schedule.